Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 213 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast for Wednesday, June 10th, 2015. I am your host, Mark Kuznez, and this episode may sound a wee bit different because I decided that it may be good, and I think it turned out well. I'll wait to hear what y'all think, but to record each little topic or, you know, when I'm talking about this show or that show individually and to separate them in little segments, essentially, and you will hear the good old-fashioned, long, tired, Insel Ninja Shink little clip as the point where you know, oh, we've just transitioned from one thing to another. And I have made a ending for the show that just plugs everything. And I'll probably just use that every single episode because it came out rather well, I think. But yeah, I look forward to hearing what y'all think of the format of the show, which isn't that different other than, oh, these things were recorded individually and you can hear the Insult Ninja thing between each of them, which I think is it's kind of a bonus. I mean, who does not want to hear Insult Ninja a few times each episode? I know I do. But yeah, let me know what y'all think. Anyway, on this episode, I review the anime Say I Love You, which I recently completed. I talk more about Punchline, which I'm all up to date on. And then I talk a wee bit about Rogue Legacy, which I have just finished. But y'all will hear more about that as you listen to this here show. So, adios, everybody. But not really, because y'all will be hearing me after this first Insult Ninja. Ah, okay, bye-bye. Not really. Hello, more so. What? No, neither of them make any sense. I should have said hello at the beginning, which I may have. I don't remember. I'm getting out of here. Here's some ninjas.
Insult Ninja! Shing!
So, Say I Love You, otherwise known as Tsukite El Neho, which hopefully I said somewhat correctly. If not, please don't hurt me, because I am, after all, a dumb American, and I'm really white. I'm like so super white. But I finally finished this anime. I've talked about it to varying degrees on previous shows, and in this here review, I will talk about what I liked, what I disliked, and what I thought of it overall. Spoilers, overall, I quite enjoyed this show. It is 13 episodes of, you know, the typical 22-24 episode length. Though, you know, of course, subtract a minute and a half for the intro every week. And I think the credits are only about a minute. And I don't know why I said every week instead of every episode, like it's still airing on TV or something. Not that it would have been airing on TV here in dumb old America. But, yeah. 13 episodes, so it's not too long. It's easy to digest. It is on Crunchyroll, so you can watch it, subscription or not. Of course, you will not have to watch with commercials, which is always nice if you're using a commercial, if you're using a subscription. Yeah, so I'll just get into it before I really dive deep into the show and the characters and the story. I will say that I found the 13th episode to be incredibly non-essential and almost, not, I don't want to say it's detrimental to the series or that it took away from the series as a whole, but the 12th episode felt way more like an end to the series than the 13th episode. The 13th episode, and I don't know, I looked into it just a little bit, and it seems like it was actually just part of this, like, it is a 13-episode season and not, say, a 12-episode season, and this single-episode special, just so people could keep experiencing the characters for just a wee little bit more. But that's what it really feels like. It doesn't feel like it belongs in the story, at least if it were to exist in it. it should belong somewhere in the middle or near, or, you know, a few episodes before the 12th. The big thing about the 13th episode is that at the very end, you know, as she says, May says, I love you. Though she doesn't even say it on camera. They fade to like gray, or like they kind of just extremely blur out the picture. And then I love you comes on the screen. So you don't even get to see it happen. So it's just like, what is the point of all this? Because the 13th episode is rather goofy. It's where Yamato ends up being sick. And of course, there will be spoilers. This is a review. And I've talked about the show before. And if I were going to talk about it anymore, I have to get a little bit spoilery. But in the 13th episode, Yamato ends up being sick, which is or something that's incredibly rare for him. And then May gets worried about him, as do his friends. Then she wants to go help. But then Yamato's sister, Nagi, she's like, no, this is my day with him. So when May calls, or I think she texts Yamato to see if it's okay if she can come over to see how he's doing. And Nagi takes the phone away from him, calls May up, and she's like, my brother doesn't want to see you today. And he's just like, What are you doing? Give me my phone back. And she's like, what? He doesn't want to see me? He must be mad at me. And then it's just sort of this back and forth. I don't know. Some weird voices just came out of my mouth. But it's just this back and forth between Yamato and May's perspective, where they're both thinking the other person is either mad at the other or is feeling sad, or, you know, they're unable to actually communicate with each other, so they're assuming so much because that's what people do. They get in their own heads and start thinking, you know, that something more is happening than really is. They overthink things. I know this to be true because I've done it plenty of times, and it's just a very common thing in life. So it wasn't a bad episode. On Crunchyroll, I've just started starring shows. You can only star episodes. I don't think you can star actual shows as a whole, which is kind of weird. But I've started trying to do that just to do it, because I feel like, oh, it's nice to, for other people who will be watching a show, that they get that, even though, you know, if a show already has a few thousand reviews, then it's not that big of a deal. But, you know, why not? But I gave it 3 stars when I would probably give it 4. I'm, you know, in some ways I could even see giving it 5 stars as an episode, a standalone. But as part of a season and as the final episode of the show, it's a 3-star episode. Because it just does not make much sense as a series finale, as the final episode, as the last thing you leave us on. It just is a really weird note, especially when the 12th episode ended on such a beautiful note and was such a really nice, sweet little episode. You know, the end credits changed, so you started seeing these little vignettes of the characters of that populate the show, and you just had this nice little moment with Yamato and May. And they didn't need to say I love you. You could see it. You know, you don't need to be so literal with your title like that. But yeah. So the show in general, I quite enjoyed it. As I've mentioned before, I liked the fact that it was a more down and dirty show about love. That it was a bit more realistic. It wasn't super lovey dovey. It also dealt with bullying and high school life in general, and how hard it can be and hurtful and painful it can be, but some of the positives as well. I do think it kind of overemphasized the negatives and didn't put enough positives in there, and where it is a slice of life show, and it is, I'd say it's somewhat adult in, you know, if you were trying to recommend this for kids, probably say 10 or older-ish. but or maybe 13. You know, it might be best for those who are just starting high school, like the characters on the show. But I do think it is a bit overly negative, and where Mei starts out as this character who kind of hates everyone and just doesn't want to open up to anyone because she believes they will all just hurt her in the end, because that is her experience, which I can really, really relate to, which is like I was like really concerned about the show at first because I thought, I don't know how I'm going to be able to handle this. And there are times when what I'm watching is, oh, it's tough because of the memories it brings back. But, and maybe this would have been alleviated if it were, say, a 24-episode season. But her arc and how she grows, it feels like there are points that are missing, that it happens without other things happening. It's, her growth seems to happen a bit quicker, even though she struggles through the entire series. But the time span, the timetable that I believe the anime takes place in, which is a few months, if that, maybe it's like 2 months. It doesn't feel like all of that would happen. And though I'm trying to think of how it would really work out, because it is her first love, and by all accounts, it is Yamato's first love too. But there's just something about the timetable that seems a bit off. And it may just be, and I'm also not entirely sure how much time does take place over the course of the show, because it never felt super clear as to how much time had passed between episodes, or how much time had passed when the series was over. I know seasons had changed at a point, I think in like the last or the episode before the last, but I didn't know if the seasons had changed before that. So yeah, that was a bit of a problem. But my biggest problem really with the show, while I do enjoy it and it's more realistic take on everything, is that it feels the need to It does not want to go all in with any character being completely bad. So any character who first comes across as an expletive, a not-so-nice person, they will eventually become redeemed by something in their past. They will have been picked on or teased or whatever. And it is done to, I guess, make you feel like, oh, this person's not all bad, or here's why they're acting this way. And I don't like that, because in the real world, there are people who are just not nice. There are people who are just bad. And there's nothing in their past that will make you say, oh, I understand where you're coming from. You know what? You're acting this way, but I know why you're acting this way, so it's okay. I won't feel so much anger towards you. And this is especially apparent and most problematic to me with the character of Megumi, who is the model who ends up transferring to the high school. And she really wants to be with Yamato and gets him to start modeling with her for a brief period of time. And, you know, that's putting a strain on Yamato and Mei's relationship, because everyone sees her and Yamato together and they're talking about how great they look together, how great of a couple they seem. And when they have to, they're constantly working, so that's taking away time that they get to spend together. And Megumi, she almost wants him just because he is this most popular guy in school. And she wants that for that attention. And because why would he pick someone over her when she is this popular model? And she does a lot of manipulative things across the show. But then I was like, I really don't like her. I don't like her. I don't like her. She's not a good person. But then they come out with an episode where it's like, oh, she was picked on horribly when she was younger. She was the ugly duckling. who was taller than everyone else. And they're like, oh, you have to sit in the back because you're the ugliest one in class. I'm like, really? The beautiful, super cute, everyone loves her model, she's so adorable, was the ugly duckling? You really had to give us that storyline? And you really had to try and make this character not so bad? I'm like, no, you didn't have to do that. I didn't want you to do that. Doing that makes me like her even less because I'm just stuck thinking about the writers and their reasoning for being like, oh, well, everyone has to be not terrible. We have to make sure that every character can be likable. But yeah, that was my biggest problem with that whole thing. But the story is nice. It is a sweet story, and it doesn't give closure exactly. It ends on kind of a weird note. I think this is actually the way the 12th episode ends, but it ends somewhat with May saying to herself, you know, thinking with her internal monologue about how she doesn't quite know how to not love Yamato. And I'm like, why do you want to know or be able to not love him? Isn't love a great thing? I mean, it's just a weird thing to say, especially with all the growth she's made throughout the show. But yeah, I would definitely recommend the show for people who like slice of life and, of course, enjoy romantically driven shows, because that is being called Say I Love You. That is really at the heart of it. And I thought, I mentioned previously that the fifth episode, and in the end, the fifth episode was probably my favorite. That's when you first meet Yamato's sister, Nagi, and it's mostly about her and how she's been kind of used. Well, not kind of. She was used by other girls in her class. They would just come over to her house so they could play their games with them, with each other, not her, because she didn't have the system or whatever, and eat her cooking because she's a fantastic cook. And she's kind of fallen into this place where Mei was before meeting Yamato, and they end up connecting, and she opens up to Mei, and, you know, the episode ends with one, it also started with Yamato and Mei finding this stray cat, and Yamato takes it in, and they plan a cat date. That's how she ends up at Yamato's house, and ends up meeting Nagi, and it ends with the little stray black cat that he just picked up, who, I can't remember the name. I think it was like Kudo or something along those lines. Ends up sleeping in May's cat's lap. Her cat is named Marshmallow. And then she and Nagi fall asleep together because Yamato had to go out and pick something up or whatever after his friend Kenji, I think, said he had to go grab this or that or whatever, and he's like, what? And he just hung up without letting him say no. So that was a really sweet episode, and that's the one that kind of hit me with the feels, where I was tearing up a little bit at the end. Nothing ever actually came to fruition tear-wise, but it was one of the most almost moments for me, just like I think the second to last episode of Your Lie in April. But yeah, and the side characters are all nice. I really enjoyed, like, her May's kind of best friend, Aiko, and of course Kenji is nice too as well. The one, Asami is the cute friend. Ahiko is actually this character who was in the Yamato earlier, who I want to go into a little bit, because she was into him and he was really nice to her, and she lost all this weight for him because she just thought that's what she should do. And they ended up sleeping together, you know, however many years ago, or, you know, a year ago or whatever, because she just did not feel beautiful or that good about herself, or didn't feel like anyone wanted her. And he even talked about how, you know, in the end it was not the best idea, because it just wasn't for the right reasons, really. But I find her arc somewhat odd, because she is also acting like Megumi when she first meets Mei. She's trying to sabotage the relationship somewhat, and she clearly likes Yamato, because everyone likes Yamato. But there comes like a point where she just turns a switch and suddenly is friends with Mei. And it could be after Mei stands up for Aiko, even though, you know, Aiko was clearly never being nice to Mei. And that could have been where she kind of started to change and be like, you know, she's not a terrible person, so I shouldn't be so negative. And Yamato clearly likes her a lot, so I should also not be a terrible person to her for that reason. But she ends up becoming a really good friend, and she's potentially the best person for Mei in terms of giving her advice and pushing her to overcome certain obstacles and fears of hers, and also another person who becomes key in that. So, like, I like Aiko for that reason, because she does help out with Mei's development a lot, but it just kind of felt like there was a moment where she just switched, where she just turned, and I'm like, could you have maybe had it not be so jarring? At least that's how it felt for me. And then the other character I'll go over before I wrap this up, this little segment, is Kai, who comes in fairly late in the show's life, I think somewhere around the 8th episode or so. And he is, previously in the episodes, Yamato would be talking occasionally about this old best friend of his who, in grammar school, he kind of ignored publicly, but in private he would talk to him and be his friend, and nobody else would do that, but he never stood up for him publicly, and he felt bad about that after the fact. He ends up coming back to school. He got taller and bigger and stronger and got himself one crazy mofohawk that, you know, it in perfect anime stylings, it does not jump around at all. It's like, ooh, he uses some fantastic hair product. But he comes into play and connects with Mei because of their similarities with the bullying and all that. And Mei helps him kind of realize that it's, you know, returning to school to kind of seek revenge and to beat up the ones who bullied you just makes you, it turns you into them. It doesn't really do anyone any good. He ends up falling for her, but he also is fine with just being a platonic friend with her. And he is part of who Megumi is using when she's trying to sabotage the relationship by convincing Yamato that Mei and Kai are an item and going on a secret date. But Kai's actually a pretty good guy. And he's also somebody who really helps push Mei and helps her get past certain obstacles and fears as well. And he's a nice character to be added when he was added. And I just enjoyed him overall. He's a good character. And I guess they kind of, like, even though they give Megumi that whole backstory and everything, she's never, I never ended up liking her. But I guess she ends up kind of being, you know, they never really make anything happen, but because everyone has to end up with somebody, It looks like her and Kai will end up having at least a fling or something. But, yeah. That is Say I Love You. Or I'll butcher the name again, probably. Tsukiti Elneo. And, if you're into those, if you're somebody who likes watching romantically driven shows, this is definitely something y'all should check out. If you're into the feels, I am somebody who is typically not affected by the feels when everyone else is like, this show's got so much of the feels. I'm like, I can't be the best judge of that, but this show had at least one episode. It's one of the rare moments in any anime I've seen where I did kind of get a little choked up. So there are feels in this show, and probably for more normal people, a lot more feels. So if you're a fan of the feels, if you want to feel something in your heart, then you should also check out this show. Visually, it's not bad. It's the color palette is a bit bland. It doesn't have much variety in that sense. It is a very, very subdued color palette. You won't be seeing much color in it. It's very, very, it's not completely desaturated, but it's just very bland and not too vibrant. So that, if you don't like that, then that could be a problem. But I think that also goes with the whole realistic take on it all. You know, it doesn't over exaggerate anything. It just has a very grounded, not so colorful look to it. The voice acting is all really well done. I did watch it subbed because I'm just not a fan of most dubbing. I watched dubbed, and I feel like maybe I wouldn't have loved it, but I maybe would have liked it a little bit more if I watched it subbed. It's Excel World, and the main character, like, his voice acting annoyed the hell out of me. But he is a character too. Just his writing and everything about him was annoying too, so I don't think that was the biggest problem. But also, I only watched about 5 minutes of Cowboy Bebop dubbed, and people talk about how great that was, and I don't know if it's because they saw it when they were a kid and loved it so much, but I don't see the grand appeal of that, but whatever, that's just me. I prefer subs a lot, like Ponyo. I think the dubbing of that ruined the movie for me because I could not get past Liam Neeson, but I watched it subbed, like I said. I thought the voice acting was really well done. Yeah. Everything, technically, is quite good. And yeah. It's an easily digestible show because it is only 13 episodes. I'm trying to think of where I would put it in the timeline. I would maybe say watch the 13th episode and then the 12th episode. Maybe do it that way. Just because you can't watch the 13th episode right at the beginning, and you can't watch it really in the middle, but maybe just switching those two, because the 12th episode is such a great way to end the show, where they have this vessel and everything, and then she puts on, what is it, a kimono, stereotypical dress of Japan. But yeah. Da-da. It's also nice because it doesn't get all fan servicey, which would have been a problem when trying to take it serious. So that's nice because that's a very common thing in many shows and something that is typically, oh, I just have to accept that this is a thing. But that wasn't the case here. So, yeah. I definitely recommend it. I would, you know, on a scale of 1 to 5, you know, on the sausage scale, which I don't really use anymore, but if I were to give it a sausage rating, I would give it 4 out of 5 sausages. It's a very solid anime. It has its problems, but overall it's quite good, and I am glad I watched it, and I may indeed buy it at some point. It is one of the anime series that are still on sale over at Best Buy. So I may even buy it, though I just watched it. Like, maybe I should buy something that I can't watch somewhere else. But I like owning anime. I enjoy it, and I enjoyed it, so it might be worth picking up for that reason. But that will do it for this here review of Say I Love You once again. Sukite el neo. Ooh, is that right? I don't know. Don't hurt me. And if y'all go and watch it yourselves, please let me know what y'all think about it in the comments below if you're looking at the post. Dope. I don't know. All right. Moving on.
Insane Ninja! Shing!
Now y'all are going to think I'm crazy or something, but despite my somewhat indifference towards Punchline, I have continued to watch it. In fact, I'm currently up to date with it. And that is partially because, one, unless I actively dislike a show, unless a show is really just making me mad or angry, or I'm like actively just really, really, really disappointed with the show, I will probably continue watching it throughout. Because, I mean, I wouldn't do that if I was hating something like One Piece or Naruto from the very beginning, and I was like, oh, I'll stick this through for 600, 800 episodes. I wouldn't do that, but for 12 episodes, I might not do it for a 24-episode show, but, you know, it depends. But it just, you know, to have that experience, to be able to say, I watched this show, I watched the whole thing, you know, I may not have loved it, but I did at least experience it, and I do have that to go off of. It's, you know, it adds to my experience as an anime fan, watcher, etc. And I'm just kind of, with Punchline, I'm just kind of, I don't want to say I'm intrigued. I feel like that's too strong of a word, but there's something about it that I'm just like, what is going on? And something that helped me decide to continue watching is that it does somewhat turn a corner during episode 6 when the tedium and kind of boring nature of the past 4 episodes, because the first one kind of set everything up and then it just kind of was lollygagging around for a while and nothing really seemed to be happening. I didn't know what the point of anything was. And then episode 6 happens and you find out that, okay, so that was all set up for what the show is really going to be about, which is Yuta, the main character, finally getting back into his body, going back in time to the moment where sort of the first episode ended to try and make sure the asteroid doesn't hit Earth. So he has all these experiences and memories from the point of the first episode to the point where the asteroid was going to impact Earth. And he now needs to rewrite history so it doesn't happen. And also you find out that there's been body swapping and certain characters of this character, like, spoilers, Yuta is actually this character Pine, who is part of this small group of, I guess, sort of like test subjects or orphans, who was with the group, with Mikatan, who is actually Shioko, who, so Yuta, he is Pine inside Shioko's body, and Mikatan is Shioko in this other character who was just, they've talked about her before, but she was just introduced soul-wise in Pine's body in the last episode. But she's also, as Mikatan, she is Strange Juice, who's part of the Justice Punch, who is also, who's like the other part of that group, is Mika, who's the robot protector of Mikatan, who was told 3 things by her grandfather on his deathbed. And one of which was to protect Migatan and do this Justice Punch thing. And then that this other person in a stupid, creepy costume would be an alright person who is actually Yuta. And that was his previous form from the future, not his actual self. So, what I'm getting at is that Punchline, and it may be overly complicated, or this could just be, you know, I'm not used to this type of show, but episode 6 does turn that corner where it's like, okay, we needed all this to set up where the show was going to be going in from the very beginning, but then they just started making everything way more complicated, and I think there's also something with Rabura, who's the ghost hunter with like psychic, not so tendencies, but sensitivity, who was able to be inhabited by Yuta when he was in his spirit form. And Cinnamon is like this spirit, like it just makes spirit powers like way, way better. It's like to the 50 billionth power. Cinnamon. And I love me some cinnamon. If Yuta in his spirit form was anywhere near my oatmeal, he would have super duper incredible powers. Then there's Ito, who's the hacker, who she gets a bear, which has regenerative capabilities, because these Yuta and Migatan and this other guy who's the head of the evil organization, they have this ability that's called like uberfication. They basically like uberfy, and it's when their eyes turn yellow, and I guess it's close to, you know, going all San or whatever that is in Dragon Ball, where just they get superpowers, their hair turns yellow and stands up a bit, their eyes turn yellow, and they just become super strong. I feel like Migatan is able to just do this at will when she wants to, where Yuta, technically Pine, still needs to look at panties in order to get his powers. So, and I mean, that's one of the weird things about, I mean, I feel like the show should just be called Panty Line, especially because I swear in the intro song, they at times just say Panty Line. I don't think they're actually saying Punchline. That's probably my favorite part of the show too. I really enjoy the intro song. That's how it goes, basically. But I guarantee it sounds way better in its actual form than the garbage that just came out of my mouth. But, yeah. Ito with the bear, Muhi, who was sent to her by Rabura's younger brother, I believe, who was a part of that evil organization, then left, and then they beat him up, and that's why he left, actually, because he faked an accident so that they could think Muhi was actually dead, but they know Mui's not dead, and Muhi was created because the head of that organization also has uber powers. Every time you use the uber powers, it hurts your body, so eventually it will destroy the body that you inhabit, and the bear was created so that you'd have, you know, it can regenerate its body and its health, so it could be used forever. It won't ever be destroyed from all the Ubering that's going around, which does not involve, you know, any cars and being taken to this place or that place. Not that type of Ubering. And then, of course, there's still Chiranosuke, who is that a-hole cat spirit. And the one thing is that after Yuta goes back in time and gets in his body, Chiranosuke is all like, you can't change the future without asking my permission. And then he stops him the first few times. He like just comes out of nowhere and does it. But then Yuta goes and changes the past, and the dumbass cat is nowhere to be found. He didn't stop him that time. He gets pissed off. He comes back later. I'm like, why didn't you just show up and stop him out of nowhere like you did the previous times? Because you weren't in the vicinity. It's not like you were watching him. It didn't seem like you were. It just seemed like you popped out of nowhere and kicked him in the gut. But yeah, it's just I just don't know what to make of Punchline. And that's part of why I'm still watching it. Because I'm not... I don't hate it. I don't like the... I'm not a big fan of the fan service aspect of it. I mean, it is an ecchi. But not... I think, like, Food Wars does ecchi in a much more... In a better way, because it kind of plays around. And you know what? I think there are cultural issues with Punchline too, because when reading up on it, apparently a lot of the names for the characters are puns, which, you know, they go over my head because they're not puns in English. They're not puns that wouldn't make sense to me, not knowing much about Japanese culture or the language. So I feel like there's potential in Punchline being something that is a bit, that you may need a bit more cultural awareness to really, really get. But I'm going to still stick with it. I'm not sure. I was checking on various places, and the two places I looked didn't give an episode number, a total, so I'm not sure if it's ongoing until nobody wants to watch it anymore, or if it's, you know, 12, 13 episodes or 24, but yeah. I'm curious as to where Punchline will be going. If any of y'all are watching the show, I'd love to know what y'all think about this show called Punchline.
Inside Ninja Shing.
So, I've gotten that anime out of the way, though that is the majority of what this show will be, this episode. I do want to touch on, before I end this here episode, Rogue Legacy, which I beat. I finally beat it. And it's funny because I bought it for a PC, loved it. Never even beat the first boss. I'm pretty sure I didn't. Just because I was so, like, dead set on getting all the upgrades first. Because I just enjoyed going through the castle and getting gold to upgrade my character. I just had fun with that. I enjoy that with any type of RPG. And then I got it, you know, and then whatever. For whatever reason, other games came out, stopped playing it. And then I picked it up for PlayStation 3 and Vita because I thought to myself, I love this game. I love the Vita. This is a no-brainer, right? I didn't really love the controls on the Vita. Never really tried playing it on PS3 because if I wanted to play it, I mean, I guess I could have gotten the, not achievements, trophies. But I just thought, well, if I want to play it with a controller, I'll just play it on PC because I prefer the 360 controller leaps and bounds ahead of the PS3 controller. But the Vita, the controls just didn't feel that tight. I didn't feel like I was in complete control in the way that I wanted to be, especially in a game like that where, you know, you screw up and it could be the end of a run. And then I bought it for a third time when it came out on Xbox One a week or two ago. And I got addicted to just doing the same old, going through the dungeon, leveling up my character, not really messing around with the bosses. But then I was like, oh, why don't I do this? So I beat the first boss, and then I was like, okay, I guess I'll go through the other bosses. Beat the second boss, super easy. Beat the third boss, which was pretty easy. The fourth boss was really easy strategy-wise. I just had to get the right character, because it just... At a point in the fourth boss, which is one of those blobs that just, as you hit it, it will become two. And then, you know, those will become two. You'll just end up having a lot of those blobs all over the place. And as they split, they also create one of the green little ghosty things that create those, that sort of create the mountains out of nothing. You have the ice ones, you have the fire ones, then you have those ones that are like the earth ones. You know, Captain Planet, that's probably what they're inspired by. No, they're not at all. But that was pretty easy as well. And then I was like, Should I just continue building up my character and not messing with the final boss because I don't want to beat the game? I also wasn't sure exactly what happened upon that. I figured you'd probably still be able to play with your character because the bosses have their sort of second version, which forces you to play them with a specific character build, which is interesting. But I was like, okay, I'll do it. And that wasn't too hard either. And now I'm here having beat Rogue Legacy. And I love that game so much that upon beating it, I was like, yeah, Rogue Legacy Plus? Yeah, of course I'll do that. Of course. You think I'm going to go play a different game now that I beat you once? Pfft, no, why would I do that? Why wouldn't I just keep playing the same game over and over and over again? And that's what I'm currently doing. I feel like I should move on to something else. Maybe go back to The Witcher, but The Witcher isn't really calling me that much. But there are plenty of other games I still haven't played. I feel like I have this desire, somewhat a desire, like this weird feeling in the pit of my stomach that I'm like, I want to play games on my Wii U. Maybe I should go do that. And maybe I will. Like, I've had Zombie U for a while. I never actually played it because I got that a while after owning my Wii U. And a good while after it had come out. So maybe I should actually do that. I don't know. But Rogue Legacy, I finally beat it for the first time on the third version that I purchased. But I love that game. I highly recommend picking it up on whatever platform you can. If you're a PC gamer, then, you know, it's been cheap a buttload of times. I may even have a copy in my gift inventory that I would be willing to gift away to whoever wants it. I'm not promising it because I, of course, do not know if I have such a copy. But if you know, I'm not sure. I'm assuming it's on PlayStation 4 as well. Not sure. But, you know, PlayStation consoles, Xbox One, PC, whatever your platform of preference is, I highly recommend picking up Rogue Legacy because it's a lot of fun. It is a roguelike, of course, but you do get to carry over character progression, which is what I really like about it, as opposed to something like Spelunky, where it's just sort of you having to improve your own personal skill or just figure out how the game works. You have to do that with Rogue Legacy as well, and there are challenges and there are achievements for, I think, beating the game without doing more than 15 upgrades or something along those lines, or maybe doing none. So that apparently can be done. I find that would break my head. But yeah, I definitely recommend checking out Rogue Legacy if you haven't already. It is such a great game, and support them. I really would love to see what they're doing next, and I hope it's something somewhat similar, but not just like, here's a different, because it is a, you know, randomly created dungeon, little castle. They can't just be like, we put you in a new castle. I mean, it's always a new castle. So, but yeah, Rogue Legacy, so good. So good. And it's still on sale for like $11.99 as opposed to $14.99 on Xbox One. So get it now before that price goes up. Okay.
Inside Ninja! Shing!
Well, that will do it for this here episode of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. I hope y'all enjoyed it and hope y'all have a lovely rest of the day wherever you are. Once again, I'm your host, Mark Jenez. Y'all can find me on Twitter and Instagram at PXSausage. That is, once again, PXSausage. If you're into the video games, check out the other podcasts I do, Pixelated Radio, which you can find at the site where you can also find this show, which you probably already know and could probably already guess, PixelatedSausage.com. And if you're a fan of racing, going vroom 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 in your cars, check out Sports Car Unleashed, which you can find at scunleashed.com. Once again, thank y'all for listening, and have a lovely, lovely day. Cheerio.
Lærer meget fra frakaste. Kunne du ikke glemme det? Jeg gav det, hvis du gav det. Kunne du, du måtte ikke alt. Hvad lader sig så ikke? Kunne du finde du ikke for nogen af verden? Farðu, þetta maður mín, elska mín, maður mín, lirar kjusu bara mér. Sem þú gerir kutu Núna sjáðu því sem ég mun gera kutu Hjartan skal deyja aldrei kutu En þú er ekki hjörtu Farðu 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 Þetta maður mín Elska mín Maður mín Let it kiss you bad, let it kiss you bad.